bow before you in the name of Jesus this morning. We thank you this morning for the blood that was shed, Lord. Because of Jesus, Lord, we have hope. Because of the light that has come to this world, Lord, and walked in our shoes and walked in everything that we could ever face, Lord, we know that you know. We know, Lord Jesus, that you know that we are dust and that you have been tempted in every way as we. And you've proven to us, Lord, that you are compassionate. You've proven that you are a lowly Savior, Lord, that you are your heart is meek and lowly. Lord, you're calling on us to bow our hearts this morning, Lord, and we desire to do that. I pray that this day we could all just bow our hearts, Lord, and set aside all the cares of life, Lord, all the things that might be stirring in our hearts, maybe thoughts that are maybe impure, Lord. I pray that we could all come to you and be washed today, Lord, and that we could be made whole. Lord, if we're here, Lord, and we have troubled hearts, I pray you would calm the troubled hearts, Lord. I pray that you'd give strength and direction, Lord, where vision is lacking. Oh God, just deliver us from temptation, Lord, and from evil. Oh God, we know that you want to do that. And Lord, in that high calling of God, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, yes, Lord. Jesus. Oh God, help us to walk in the resurrection power of Jesus. Lord, would you anoint Brother Steve here this morning, Lord? I thank you for him, oh God, for the work you've done in his heart and his home, Lord, and for the inspiration he's been in my life, Lord. Thank you for him, and I pray you give him an anointing from you. Lord, fill him with your Holy Spirit. God, just prepare our hearts for what you have for us here. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. And maybe after the children's lesson, Brother Merv could lead a song, and we'll have the offering at that time. God bless you.
Well, greetings to all of you once again this morning. You know, Brother Sally, that feeling is mutual. It's been, I believe, 3.5 years that we were out here last, and it's always been encouraging to come here. And it's been too long. I was also thinking, as I was preparing to share this morning, about the last time I shared here, I believe was 9 years ago. If I remember right, it was one of the first, if not the first, Sunday morning meeting that you gathered together as a group there in the basement of the Graber Cabinet office building. And so my mind was just going back into what the Lord has done here and again to see that God is still at work. And as we were sharing this morning, Sally's sharing about, there's basically three congregations that sprung up out of this little group that was here 9 years ago. And that's a big encouragement to see God at work and continuing to draw his people out of the nations, the cultures, whatever you might call it. And so I would like to share just a little bit from my heart, from some of my meditations here recently. I have been thinking a lot about Jesus, the different times that Jesus talks about in the Gospels about the many and the few. And so I'd like to just look at some of those verses and see what he was talking about when he's talking about the many and the few. And we if we could just evaluate our hearts and, consider, are we a part of the many or are we a part of the few? I thought of, as Sally was sharing, about many people going to the meeting and not really getting anything out of it, but comforting themselves in the fact that they have been to the meeting. And, a lot of the references that Jesus gives about the many that will be lost is actually very clearly talking about those who are in the church, those who believe them to be themselves to be good people or that believe themselves to maybe be on the right path. And so we're just going to look at a few of those verses here this morning. I'd like to start out with Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 or 14. Matthew chapter 7. This is the Sermon on the Mount. We're very familiar with these words, and yet the depth of the what Jesus is trying to get across here is sometimes a little hard to grasp in our finite minds, and to think about what he's talking about here when he's talking about the way. He's talking about the broad way, and he's talking about the narrow way. And so, Matthew chapter 7, and I believe it begins there at verse 13. It says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." And then he says, "And many there be which go in thereat." Many there be that go in thereat. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. And then let's go to maybe Matthew chapter 7, again, verse 22. Talks again about many. He says, let's start in verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And then he says again that word, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Again, he uses that word, "many," that will come in that day. And it also gives the indication here, it's talking about those who cry, "Lord, Lord," will not all be saved. So it gives the indication of somebody that believes himself to be a Christian, believes himself to be following the Lord, but Jesus says that he will say, "I never knew you, depart from me." And then the next verse is, it goes into the familiar passage where he talks about the wise man and the foolish man. He talks about how the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the floods came and the winds drove, and the house stood firm because it was built on a rock. And he uses these words, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these of sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock." He that hears and does. And then on the next verse, he says, verse 26, "And everyone that hears these sayings of mine," again, this is somebody that heard. This is not somebody that's, in a country where they've never heard. This is somebody that heard and did not do it. "There it shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon a sand, having no foundation. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof." Then we could go to maybe Luke chapter 13 and verse 23. Luke chapter 13, starting in verse 23. "Here they came to him, and they said, Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And then this is Jesus' response, and he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, ye all ye workers of iniquity." There again, he speaks clearly about somebody that heard It says, the response is when they are sent away, the response is, you know, you taught in our streets. We ate and drank in your presence. How can this be that you don't know us? But again, going back to those who hear and do not respond to what they hear. Workers of iniquity. We could also go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, where it gives a reference of the ark. And it talks about there how there was, again, few, you know, in that case as well, there was few saved, only 8 souls were saved when the whole world was drowned in water. And in other place, Jesus actually in Matthew 24, verse 38, he says, he uses that reference as in the days when Jesus will come, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 38. I'm just going to kind of quickly go through these. I have a lot of scriptures here to cover. But where Jesus uses that, the idea of the flood, it says, verse 36. But of that hour, day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And he goes on to talk about how two will be grinding at the meal and one will be taken and the other left, and on down the line he goes. Again, a clear warning to us that there will be few that will find the way, that will be able to enter into that narrow way. And then in Luke chapter 21, verse 8, Luke chapter 21, he talks again about many. Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. And then there's a verse I'd just like to briefly look at in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It talks about, you know, an exhortation by Paul to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, and prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. And so he exhorts us to examine ourselves, whether we are in the faith, whether we are on that narrow way. And I'd like to talk a little bit about I want to go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 5, and then read a few verses there, where he also talks about many. Matthew chapter 24, and verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, similar to what we read in Luke, and shall deceive many. And then on down to verse 10. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Which actually brings me on to another verse that actually kind of ties right into that, talking about the love of many growing cold, and betraying one another, deceiving and being deceived. Let's just briefly go to 1 John chapter 1. The gospel, or the first epistle of John, you know, there's John says several things in that letter, reasons why he wrote this letter. The first thing he writes about is in verse 4 of chapter 1. It says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." He says that in the very beginning, and I believe there's a reason for that. He wants us to understand the heart of God in this whole matter, because John's going to have some very hard things to say in the chapters to follow. And so he starts out with, "I'm writing this so that you know that so that your joy may be full, so that you might be full of joy. I'm not here to take your joy away. I'm here to give you joy." But then he goes on to give a few descriptions of deception and some of those things. First of all, he says in verse 5, 6, 7. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Talks about fellowship with God, and then the next verse he talks about fellowship with one another, almost like it's one and the same thing. It's all tied together. If we cannot have fellowship with God and be enemies one with another. And John ties that whole thing together there. And then in chapter 2, verse 3, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments," going back to that hearing and doing. Not hearing only, but doing. And we could say, have a whole message about that, but we don't have time this morning. There again he says, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And that's kind of the message that John is giving throughout this epistle. He keeps bringing these things out. And, you know, you say this, but this is what's in your life. Well, you're a liar. Verse 9, he says, "He that saith he is," this is a very important one here, listen carefully, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light." And listen to this. "And there is none occasion of stumbling in him." What does light do? It shines in our path. It shows us where to go. And here he says, if we love our brother, we abide in the light. And there's no occasion for us to stumble. We can see where we're going. And then the next verse he says, "He that loveth, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness. And he knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes." And there's more there that you could talk about. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." One of those defining verses again. Just a few other things. Another thing that I thought about just kind of in closing here was where he talks about the laborers are few. Kind of a different, you know, Not along the same lines what we have been talking about, but it's another one of those places where he talks about the few, and he says the laborers are few, and the harvest is great. I'm not going to turn there. I'm just referring to that. But then one, I want to leave you with this one thing in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, where he talks about a great multitude. Now this is on the other side, you know, where there will be a great multitude in that day. Even though we are a minority here in our day on the earth, but there will be a great multitude. And that's an encouragement to me that, you know, though we are a minority, we are not alone. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." God bless you.